My name is Latanya Odin. This is October 11th, 2005. We are at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. So I want to talk about the missionaries and your experience with church after when you were growing up, when you were a young boy. So if you could tell me a little bit about what you remember.
I was put in a mission, when I was about 7, 8, maybe 9 years old, along with my brothers and sisters. It was 5 of us back in, I would say, 1946. Maybe 45, I don't remember exactly, that's close enough. And I spent 4 years there myself, my brothers and sisters. I'm the oldest of the family. And my brothers and sisters spent a couple of maybe 3 years longer than I did.
What was the name of the mission?
Haynes House. Haynes.
And this mission, were you sent there? Was it mandatory for the children to go there?
No, it was a... Because I guess I lost my mother to begin with, and my dad couldn't... it was during the Depression. And there wasn't many jobs around, and support us and resend us to the mission.
How big was the mission?
There was probably 30 to 40 students all together, both boys and girls.
And then how was this run by what church?
Presbyterian Church. Board of National Missions. And we are run by the Board of National Missions under that church. A lot of the kids were there under the same kind of circumstance that we were there. Some of them even worse off, maybe they lost one or both parents, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like the top criteria under which they selected the guy who was eligible to go there. And there was a whole bunch of them all over the state. Well, then it was a territory.
And so, Alaska was a territory, and so the Presbyterian mission, was that only for Metlakatla, or was it for all over?
It was a well-established church. They had churches all over the world, and they had missionaries all over the world. Africa, South America, and the Asian countries. So, like the Catholic Church, they were established worldwide.
Oh, okay. But and the mission school that you went to?
Just one of the many places that was located in Haynes.
Okay. Did you meet people from all over Alaska at that school?
Yeah.
Okay, so they came from all over?
Yeah. They were just from Alaska, all the students.
Was there a mission like that in Canada?
They probably had one there, not, that was a different church now. The one, you're thinking about Father Duncan?
Right.
Yeah, that was the Church of England. That was a mission, they too were in the same, they had missionaries from that church. And a lot of them Well, this Father Duncan, I guess he chose to go to British Columbia to serve on his missionary service. And he, this happened maybe four generations before I was born, while they're still in Canada. My great grandparents came over as little, you know, young kids with their parents. Okay, now that's a different story there. What happened to me as an individual and my brothers and sisters is when we went to Ames House. And that's where we were under the Presbyterian Church and their guidance. And that too is, you know, kids from all over Alaska, and kids from Nome, all the villages down in southeast, you know, Heidelberg, Kolob, Ketchikan, all, you know, from all over down there.
And you said before, when we were talking before, that you had a negative experience with religion because of, was it
yeah.
because of this?
Yeah. That was, you know, that, my experience there was very negative about that. They were, I guess you could say they forced you to accept their ways, and, you know, it wasn't your choice. Of course, we were young too, so, you know, and they forced a lot of their discipline on children that, I guess, emanate, you know, from spoken from the Bible. Things like spare the rod and spoil the child, and that's where he's punishing them for any wrongdoing. That was, you know, that was, that wrongdoing to me was up to interpretation by the individual. And those people there that ran that mission, you know, they had a different idea. Because, see, my family was a member of, the whole family had been members of the Presbyterian Church, and they had a Presbyterian Church in Mount Calvary. And the difference between that church, Mount Calvary, and Haines was just, like, they were two different religions, you know, just because of the way who was ever in charge down in Little Carolina and the one in Haines.
And you're talking about how wrongdoing is up to, you know, interpretation. Can you give me a specific example where you thought your punishment was just way more extreme, or something that you may have done that was misinterpreted?
There was a time, I'll tell a little story here, illustrate the point, I guess. There was a time, there was a lot of snow that went under, and there was a military base, an old military base that was there for a long time, probably during the First World War. And it was really a nice, you know, the barracks and everything were real fancy, you know. And but then, I guess, when the Second World War came along, and that was during the time I was there, it wasn't used as a base anymore. It was more being recovered as a historic site. So they kept it up, from appropriations under that historic site. They did that a lot. The old building, the museum, and things like that. We were sliding down a hill, and there was a whole bunch of us kids from this mission. And when we go there, it was, you know, through the years that I was there, it was kind of a you look forward to it, you know. When we had to share this one sled, and it was like, I think there was at least five or more kids. We had to take turns. Lie down, walk back up, lie down. At the bottom of this hill was an open garage. You know, the whole side of the building was a long, long garage. Apparently they stored vehicles in there. But there was no doors on that one side. And it, like I said, they weren't being used anymore. You know, just sitting there deteriorating. And in the corner of this garage, you know, this open garage, was a sled standing in the corner. And we looked at it, and we said, well, we'll use it, you know. You all agreed that we're going to use it. And said, we'll put it back when we're done. So we took it up with us, and then we got more rides out of it. And the owner had his name on the name. I remember his name was King. The last name was King. And we saw him, you know, the hill we were sliding on ended at the entrance to this big dock area for loading and unloading boats. And he was driving up that dock, and we were trying to stop him, and he didn't see us. You know, we got on by before he got his attention. And we were going to tell him now what happened. He looked, and so we put the sled back. Apparently we didn't put it exactly in the right spot, because when that guy reported it, somebody was using that sled. I guess he remembered where he put it in the position he was in when he stuck in that corner. And we didn't put it back exactly the same. Right near there, but not exactly the same. No. We came down to the mission and reported. See, we used to get blamed for a lot of things by the city, the townspeople, because we were the mission kids. Anything goes wrong, you blame the mission kids. And that's what happened in this case. So he came on and told our supervisors that ran the place. They in turn questioned us and found the story out, and they're going to punish us for it. And the punishment for that particular incident was going to be using what they call a red owl, where they'd take all the boys in that dorm, have them stand in a circle, facing the backs of each. And then they take this kid that's going to be punished. He has to crawl between their legs, and they use their belts as he crawls through, and I hit him.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, you have 10, 12 boys there, and they tell you to go through how many times, you know. And you couldn't cry. They wouldn't let you cry. If you did, they would send you through additional time.
Wow. So you were beat with a belt.
Yeah.
By all these kids.
By our own kids, our own friends, you know. And, under the instruction of the supervisor, a dorm mate. I still remember that. There's all the women there. With the exception of the gardener, the staff was consistent women, and that guy that hit up the farm.
Oh, except the gardener?
The gardener and the head farmer.
And so
in fact, they used to send it to them for singular punishment, you know, to get whipped.
Oh, yeah.
They had to go there, down there, said, hey, and one guy was named Mr. Nolan, and I was Mr. Woods. We were here then. And punishment for me. Somebody noticed, one of those guys, the younger one, he just didn't want to do it anymore, you know. doing it then.
Yeah. So it's experiences like that, I mean,
yeah.
That happened a lot?
That happened a lot. I've seen it a lot. The reason I didn't get punished that particular time, but the matron told me, said, you're new here, that's just, I just got there, not that, maybe a week or two before that. So you don't know what's going on here, so she said, you just stand there and watch. So they put this kid, had him put on his pajamas, and the punisher was up on the third floor, and the kid playing with him. She's standing there and instruct everybody what to do.
What other forms of punishment were there then?
That was one. Another was like one time we lost the cows. We were scared. It was my cousin and myself. And then we had to take the cows out to what they call the flats, river flats. And it was, you know, the grass grew real tall in the river flats. And we took the cow, milkers, out there to feed, you know, on the weekend. And just turn them loose out there. And we had to stay out there on the weekend watching. We're right nearby where we were tending these. Because there was a great big gravel pit with a place to swim, you know, the water, these big pits. And we got the cows out there, and then we ran back to these pits and was swimming, and they took a swim. And we'd go back out. See, we had to stay out there all weekend and practice lunch for the day, and we'd have to come back. And we'd go out there early in the morning, and then come back in the mid-afternoon, get back, so by the time we get back to the barn, there's cow's milk, it'd be about 4 o'clock. We were given instructions that if we lost the cows, you know, I guess it happened a lot. That was the first time I ever went out with my cousin. And, that was shortly after I got there too, so I didn't, and I was definitely scared of cattle. You know, they were so huge. But my cousin did a lot, so he helped me out. Getting used to that. And we got out there and we knew there was bears out there. You know, there's always sighting of bears out there. And when we got out there, we lost the cows because there's sloughs all over the place, and when you look out over the grass, the areas, you don't see the sloughs because they look like everything's even, more like there's nothing out there, but it's fields.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk along, and you get drop-offs, and the sloughs maybe as wide as this room.
Mm-hmm.
And the cows would get down and probably deepest as, you know, they'd get down and drink water out of these sloughs.
Oh.
And you can't see them because the grass is way up here now, off the bank. And a lot of these cows went down in there and stayed down there, and you could find them. 3 o'clock rolls around, and they told us that one of us going to have to go in and report the, you know, that we lost the cows. Yeah, and then the other one has to stay out there and continue looking for them. Well, we couldn't decide who was going to stay out there and look for the cow, so we both went home. And that was a no-no. So we got punished for that, and we got whipped with hoses there.
Oh, jeez. Then, how old were you then?
I was, you know, shortly after I got there. I don't even think I was there in a couple of months. So I was probably 9 years old,
they sent you out with cows.
Yeah.
Wow.
We were all assigned chores, even the little ones. You know, some of them worked in. So the older ones, like the 12, 13, 14 year old, worked in the kitchen. And over the barn. from 9 years old on up to being in those places. And we all worked the gardens. We grew everything.
I know that you were talking about this in class before, but could you just tell me a little about how, like, a normal day would go at the mission?
During the school year, we should just go to school all day long. But in the summertime, let's talk about that. We're always assigned chores all the time, and we do that chore for a month, and then you get assigned new chores, so you get moved all around. And all depending what kind of chore it is depending on your age. So as you got older, you got a more responsible chore, requiring an older kid to do it. We worked all summer long taking care of the cattle and all the chores like that. Plus we gotta raise all our vegetables and potatoes and big fields. We plow them down in the springtime and get them ready for planting and do that. And we tend to these things all summer long until we're ready for harvest. And we do that too. So we were pretty busy all the time. The other thing we had to do was each age group had to pick their quota of berries. The various berries that we picked. Blueberries and brown apples.
Are these berries ones that were wild?
Yeah, wild thimble berries. Wild raspberries. And we had to fill our quota for the summer. So many gallons per person, depending on their age. And that's what happened during the summer. Then during this, school, we started off attending. I remember when I first got there, we went to what they call government school, mainly attended by Alaska Natives.
A government school?
Yeah. Then maybe a year or two later, Territorial Board of Education decided we need to include the Natives in the public school system.
Mm-hmm.
So we started going there.
So then you didn't attend school at the mission anymore after that?
We didn't actually, that wasn't a school. It was just a boarding home.
Oh, yeah.
You were fed, and that's how you had room and board. That's all it was. And then we actually went to another, then a territorial school that was just for Natives. Like I said, later on, they started running the school or the public school. So I would probably say I spent 2 years in, or 3 years maybe, in the Native school. Government school, I call it. Like when I went back there not too long ago, and I saw that same building we went to school in, that's over 60 years ago. Mm-hmm. And still there's not being used for that purpose anymore. It's a business, used for some sort of business.
Mm-hmm. So was it mainly the discipline that made this mission school, that gave you such a negative experience?
Well, that and the fact that they jammed religion down their throat. Even if you didn't like it or not. And I had a, even at that young age, I was, you know, and like now, I can't accept anything on faith. And it's always been that way, as long as I remember. Even before I went to that mission, I just can't not. You know, like a lot of people that are religious, they don't need to be proven that what they believe in is true or not. So it hasn't accepted on faith, so, you know, that to me is wrong. It always felt wrong. And I felt that all along, all of my growing up years, being, you know, there at Ames, in high school, and as a young person, and then later on, you know, until I was 40 years old, and I just couldn't come to grips with that. And I tried to join the church. I did, in fact, join the church, you know, when I was 12, and, because that's the minimum age that you can join the church at. And went through all the teachings that they had, you know, they had like a training program for the church. You have to pass it like something you do in school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn verses in the Bible and instructions per the Presbyterian Church. And I went through all that and got baptized that's when by the church and accepted by the church as a member. But all that time, even though they made us do this, I couldn't. I would tell them, yeah, I believe it, I have faith in it. But all that time, I always felt like I was lying.
Mm. So if they asked you and you told them the truth that you didn't have that faith that they were trying to force you to believe, were you punished?
I didn't let that go that far.
Hmm.
I just went along.
Yeah, but if you had, do you think you would have been punished? Were other students?
You know, the way they, you know, you took for, you know, they use what they, regard as fear tactics, you know, when they do the teaching, and they use a lot of things that would make you scared to do anything wrong. Like, you know, using God or Jesus' name in vain, you know, swearing, things like that. And they would say that go to hell if you do, you know, you burn in the fires of hell. So those kind of things like that, when they tell you that, you know, you don't know whether to believe that going to happen or not. But then, being a young kid, you know, you kind of lean toward whatever grown-ups tell you as being true. So you do find out yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that constant fear, and that's the way they taught you. They constantly use things like that to. And so you had a state of mind all the time, being in a state of fear all the time. And there's always those reminders, those remarks that they make.
Mm.
You know, and the other thing is that spirit of God spoiled the child. They gave them the authority to go ahead and whip us for any wrongdoing that they consider as wrong.
Mm.
And for a long time I believed them. And then after I got out of there and I got into high school and then I out at the high school, see all the different churches represented there in this high school, even though it was a Presbyterian church that ran the school. There was a lot of us native kids that came to there. You know, they came from different churches, the Catholics, the Protestants, the different Russian Orthodox, there's a come together of all these different ideas about religions and just got more confusing.
Right. In what ways do you remember most? You talked about how they use the fear tactic, is what you called it. In what other ways would they, like you said, force religion on you, force religion down your throat?
Usually it's through their disciplinary action, you know, they'll tell you, you know, this, you know, what their punishment for is. It's their way of teaching, you know.
So you're pretty much afraid of...
You mean during that time, yeah. I was a, you know, like I say, I was in a state of fear all the time. I remember having a lot of nightmares as a kid. I woke up at night and I used to, even up there, I used to, I remember spending an entire night in a coat rack. You know, the kids hang their clothes, just open stalls, you know, only about that wide and maybe that deep. And all the coats, and I used to crawl in underneath the coats and that'd be nightmares and stay there. But that was a reoccurring thing all the time I was there. Not every night, you know, it was often enough to remember all that.
And then when did you leave the missionary school?
I was probably like 12, 13 years old. My dad wanted me back home so he could, you know, go learn how to fish, commercial fish. And I came home the first time when I was 12. And I did that for a couple summers in a row before I finally stayed home permanently.
Well, because then you'd go back during the winter.
Yeah, in the off-season.
And then when you went back from the missionary school, you went back to learn how to fish. Did you go to a Presbyterian church?
I would go, it was probably, I wouldn't go up unless I had to. And my parents told me to go, they forced me to go, I would, but I would out of choice. If I had a choice and they allowed me to, I wouldn't go. And more and more as I got older, you know, they saw, you know, by the time I was 15, they wouldn't even bother me. Teenager.
Was your family, you said that your whole family is Presbyterian?
Mm-hmm.
So was your dad raised Presbyterian?
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's from the missionaries there?
That's just from the established churches there now. So you got the Presbyterian Church and the Church of England. And we call it the big church. That was the only church at one time when Father Duncan was there.
Oh, yeah.
And so, the Presbyterian Church came later, and it kind of served as a like a party in Republican Democrat Party. That's the Presbyterian Church and the big church.
Oh,
that's the way it was divided. So whenever they had any elections, you know, that was a party that represented the community. That's what it was. That's the way politics is divided down the line between the two churches. It's not that way anymore now because there's several other religions there now. And in fact, they had what I consider a hostile takeover by took over that big church. There's a big church there. In fact, I'll show you a picture. I'll maybe have to get through the interview. But there's a not too long ago, after I've been up here for a lot of years, maybe 20 years ago, some other religion came along. I don't know which one it was, but anyway, there's a new by comparison, came along and they took over that Father Duncan church, like a big company taking over a little company in a hostile takeover. That's the kind of thing that happened there.
Wasn't the Methodist, was it?
No, I don't know who it was. Because like I say, I've been away from there for over 40 years and I wasn't keeping up on religious politics like that all the time I was up here. I'd go home and, like I said, I'd go home every 2, maybe 3, 4 years at a time. And just spend maybe a week down there at the most.
To see family? Is that because it's just so expensive to get down there?
That's a big factor.
Yeah.
Because now we drive down to Haines, and it's it's very helpful financially.
Yeah.
Just leave the vehicle in Haines and get on the ferry all the way down to Ketchikan and catch a boat over to Metcalfe. Now they got a ferry between Mount Metcalfe and Ketchikan, so you get down to Ketchikan and catch another ferry from Ketchikan.
And what was your experience after this when you were young with the missionary school? You said that you became a member of the church when you were 14. And why was that?
It was mandatory.
Oh, really?
It was expected of you. Really didn't really have a say-so, wouldn't join it at that age. I was 12 years old when I joined.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And like I say, once I got out of there and got out of high school, I was pretty much on my own. I just let it all go.
Yeah.
Pursued any further, never participated in any further.
Yeah. And when you said that it was expected of you from your family or from the community?
Probably both, because they're pretty staunch Presbyterians as well.
The family and the community. Yeah, it was the same with my great grandpa.
Yeah.
He was on St. George Island, and he had become the altar boy and everything because it was just expected of him to go to Russian Orthodox Church, and same thing for him.
Yeah. Now, nowadays you see people that are members of the church are only good Christians on Sunday. All the rest of the week, whatever you want to be.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share about when you were young and religion? Do you have any story you'd like to share?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, that's all the questions I have today.
Okay.